prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, July 27th, 2023. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Melody, and happy National Chili Dog Day.
I love chili dogs.
I do too. Well, it's also National Love is Kind Day and the National Korean War Veterans Armistice Day.
Wow.
That's
wow,
off
wow,
to
wow.
them. But I'm celebrating my favorite dessert celebration. It's National Creme Brulee Day. That's all I'll say about that.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Let's go back to the chili hot dogs, yeah.
Okay.
Chili dogs.
I want to go back to Hi Mini.
To what?
My greeting, Hi Mini.
Yeah. All right. You guys, that's the listeners, you wouldn't believe the abuse I get during the breaks and everything. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you.
It's good to be loved, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it is. It is. Well, I still love gold, even though it's down $27 today at $1,945. Silver is down 82 cents, but still $24.17. Platinum is down 30 at $943, and palladium was down 23 at $1,274. Paper markets today, the USDX today was up 0.78 at 101.79. Crude oil was up another buck. Moving in on that $80 range, 79.86. Now let's go to the paper markets. The Dow lost about 200 pounds today and it did have a historic 13-day rally. Well, that broke. 237 points to the downside. S&P was down 29. NASDAQ was down 77. None of the three were down over 1%. Asian markets were all positive. Europe was positive. 10-year yield, that's at 4%. 4.006, that's beginning to move up. And natural gas was down 6%, 2.50. And that's pretty much it. I don't know if we're going to be talking about those. I think we are about those sweeping changes to capital rules for banks with $100
yes.
billion or more. But let's go ahead and start out with our GDP. Today, the second quarter for that grew a whole 2.4%. I don't know why people are so happy about that. But it was faster than what they had anticipated. This came out from the Commerce Department today. The GDP, which is the sum of all goods and service activities. Hold on. Summer and gnats, I hate. Anyway, summer, the economy showed a few signs of recession in the second quarter. It increased 2.4% annualized rate through April through June. Everybody was pretty much expecting a 2%, and GDP rose at the 2% pace in the first quarter, so no changes from the first and second they were anticipating, but they'll probably revise that second quarter down also. So consumer spending, of course, we know guides this economy. Inflation, in their terms, was held in check. I know not to the common folk out there, but in their terms, where they shop. Where they shop, their inflation was held in check. And consumer spending increased 1.6%. And that's about it, Dave. What say you?
Well, I say a lot. Well, I could say a lot. I'm not sure how much I really want to say. But, you know, everyone's been calling for a recession. If not by now, then certainly beginning the quarter we're in. And I guess, you know, if the 2.4% numbers are real, I guess you can call that resilience of a sort. But just remember that this is just the first of what will be three readings of GDP. There'll be that first and revision next month, that second revision, and you know, we'll have the final number. So who knows how it will be revised, you know, a couple of months down the road, up or down. But I bet you it won't be down. Growth hasn't had a negative reading now since the second quarter of last year when GDP fell about 0.6%. That was the second straight quarter of negative growth, meeting the technical definition of a recession. But the good old National Bureau of Economic Research, who's the official arbiter of business cycles and of recessions, have heretofore not called it a recession. We'll talk more about what others might be calling this period, namely rolling recessions, which we've talked about before, and a rich session, as some are now referring to it. In any event, the numbers released by the Commerce Department today showed widespread growth in the country. Gross private domestic investment up by almost 6% after tumbling 12% last quarter, almost an 11% surge in equipment, 10% increase in structures. That government spending increased 2.5% roughly, led primarily by defense expenditures, plus 3.5% plus growth in state and local government spending as well. Now, as we've told you, non-farm payrolls, that is job gains in general, and consumer spending have been at the heart of what we're seeing this year so far. Related report today showed that we're buying more durable good orders for things like vehicles, computers, appliances. That was up almost 5%, much higher than the 1.5% estimate. We have the non-farm payrolls having grown by about 1.7 million so far this year. Consumer spending, consumer sentiment in general is up as well, despite the Fed having hiked interest rates 11 times since March last year. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about the Fed here in a minute. I saw yesterday's rate increase as predictable. given particularly Jerome Powell's rhetoric over the past month, but some of his colleagues as well, who just said we're far away from victory, and it's a real interesting times, Melody. You talk about putting on a good face. Just about every government official or Fed official, some would hesitate to call the Federal Reserve a government agency insofar that it's run of, by, and for the too big to fail banks, it seems. But the thing that still has me curious is these really widening yield curve inversions. That shows both the 90-day and the 2-year yields being way above the 10-year benchmark yield. In fact, the 3-month and 10-year curve inversions suggesting a 67% chance of recession. And that was by the end of June. So I don't know what's going on here. I mean, that has a near-perfect record over the last few decades. So I don't know if the pandemic has turned everything upside down or what.
I'm not sure it's the pandemic, but I'm sure it's the debt.
Oh, there you go. Well, there you go.
You know, it's because, at one point in time, you could probably bet on this, and I'll guarantee you probably still can. It's just they've distorted the outcomes or the time frame that you get the outcome because – decades ago, they didn't have the common sense, or they didn't have the ability to adjust the markets by printing so much money at any given time like they do today. So I think what they plan on is, even though we're in a so-called, by all means, supposed to be in a recession, as long as they can keep fiddling with the markets, they don't have to call it a recession as long as they can keep the outside decoration looking like there's no recession. But
yeah, $160 billion, I believe I saw, was in treasuries were sold today.
Yeah,
someone's arm is getting sore from that cranking.
Yeah, so it's that's why. But recession is coming. You can call it whatever you want. And who knows, maybe they'll have to change the definition of a recession now, because it's different than all the other ones were because of their ability to print the amount of funds that they do, money that they do. So who knows? But the point is, where are you? How's your wages going for you? Have you seen prices coming down? I mean, sure, many, many folks are working and many, many are not. But it doesn't feel like a healthy economy. I don't see, when you see people buying anymore, David, they don't seem happy. I don't know if they just buy things anymore because they're conditioned to buy, or if they really do enjoy buying things. Who knows? But it's just weird.
Or they're seemingly unhappy because they're buying more and more necessities with their credit cards.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, I need this stuff. Or my family, has got to have this stuff. But I just don't have the cash right now. But I got to buy it. So they charge it.
And at the higher price. And then you look at these interest rates that they're going to have to charge on their credit cards and so forth. They continue to rise. So I think we'll be seeing things a lot different. I know typically in August is usually the most volatile month of the year for the paper markets. I mean, we've seen the biggest market upsets in October and even a little in September, but supposedly the biggest volatile month of the year is August. So we'll have to see what happens. I think heading into the beginning of the year, into 2024, even though it's an election year, I don't know, things are just creepy out there, Dave. So Yesterday, we talked about the Fed funds rate, now highest in 22 years. They raised it, as Dave mentioned earlier, 5.25% to 5.5%. I'm sure mortgages are now over 7%. I think they're probably back up. So you're going to see those fluctuate a little bit. I don't know what the 30-year mortgage was today, but you just got to remember, you know, you have these, all this debt out there has to be rolled over, and they're being rolled over at these higher rates. It's not healthy. Big impacts that they've been able to keep under the rug so far, Dave.
Yeah, it'll be interesting now to see what happens next. Next Federal Open Market Committee meeting at in September. Markets have been pricing in a better than even chance that there won't be any more moves, either up or down this year. In fact, about two-thirds of Fed Fund future traders believe that rates will be held steady through December. It's according to the CME's FedWatch tool. During his news conference after the meeting adjourned yesterday, Fed Chair Powell said inflation has moderated somewhat since the middle of last year. You go, Captain Obvious, but hitting the Fed's 2% target, quote, has a long way to go. And if uncertainty wasn't enough in general, he added, I would say it's possible that we will raise funds again at the September meeting if the data warranted. I would also say it's possible that we would choose to hold steady. So, you know, it's the same old Fed speak, although there's more talk now about, you know, the old Yellen-esque data-driven decisions. The totality of the incoming data, I think, is the term that used yesterday. Economists out there, though, like Joe Porcellus, chief economist at RSM, said it's time for the Fed to give the economy time to absorb the impact of past rate hikes. They'll be able to contain themselves. Melody, I think, remains to be seen. Particularly, you know, they're continue to draw down about $95 billion a month from their balance sheets. Peaked at around $9 trillion before they began their QT. It's now about $8.3. That's still
pretty hefty.
Yeah, you look back just 5 years ago, you talk about the increase in money supply. There you go. There's your effects of inflation, ladies and gentlemen, if not the cause, I should say.
And but who cares, right? Just trillions. What's a few trillion here and there? That's nothing.
Sooner or later, we'll be talking about real money.
Yeah. Thursday, jobless claims. So the number of Americans applying for jobless claims slid last week to the lowest level in 5 months. Applications for initial unemployment benefits fell by 7,000 for the week ending July 22nd. And that's the fewest since February. You know, as we know, jobless claim applications are broadly seen as a proxy for the number of layoffs in any given week. And for a few weeks this spring, jobless claims had appeared to reach a sustained higher level above 260,000, Dave.
Well, overall, just shy of 1.7 million, 1.69, were collecting unemployment benefits. Actually, the week ending July 15th, that's about 59,000 fewer than the previous week, and the least amount since January, Melody.
Home prices, they're continuing to fall for June compared to, what, a year ago. June's median price hit the second highest monthly median price on record going back to 1999. And so the existing home price, $410,000 last month, just 0.9% less than the all-time high from 1 year ago of 413,000. So it's marked the fifth month of year-over-year drops in median home sales price. And
amazing.
Yes, and I hear the music. It's amazing. We're there already. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We still have a few of those specials from yesterday. We'll adjust the price a little bit down from yesterday, but it was a $10 face value of 50-cent pieces. Those are the ones that were minted prior to up and including 1964. So you'll get a mixture of those 50-cent pieces. The premiums on those are pretty high because they just didn't make many that year, up and including. And so many of the older ones, the Franklins and the Walking Libs, so many of them were worn down as they were used and so forth. So we have a nice supply, nice-looking 50-cent pieces here for you. And you'd also receive 20 of the Peace dollars, XFAU peace dollars. They were minted in the 20s. You would also receive 20 of those. And it's a great little package. It includes your shipping and everything for $965. $965. So we got a few of those left. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And we were talking about going into the program about these bank capital requirements. So now there's coming out with a set of proposed changes to these banks' capital requirements to address, now get this, folks, evolving international standards and the recent regional banking crisis. So if they're addressing these now, international standards, they don't make these changes unless something's coming, is how I look at it. Now, these changes supposedly are designed to boost the accuracy and consistencies of regulation. We'll revise rules tied to risky activities, including lending, trading, valuing derivatives. Well, that's kind of interesting. And operational risk, because we know they've got boatloads of derivatives on their books. And this is all from a notice from the Federal Reserve. Trillions and trillions and trillions. Tens of hundreds of trillions. Now, this is all from the Federal Reserve, the comptroller of the currency, and the FDIC. Yeah, they're a little worried. Long expected by banks, the proposed rules seek to tighten regulation of the industry after two of the biggest crises in recent memory. Of course, well, I thought they already tightened up on the regulation on these, and I thought they already had to do their little test, stress test on a certain, you know, it's...
They do. They've just now...
They dance around it and do it in other ways.
They've expanded it to the smaller banks, or I should say to the medium-sized banks. It used to be, what, $250 billion, now it's $100 billion in assets are subject to those capital rules. Now, these incorporate these international banking regulations known as Basel III, which was agreed to after the Great Recession 15 years ago, but taken this long to be rolled out. Of course, the changes Melody alluded to will raise the level of capital that banks need to maintain against possible losses, depending on each bank's risk profile. Again, all banks with at least $100 billion in assets will be subject to these new rules. A fact sheet said improvements in risk sensitivity and consistency introduced by the proposal are estimated to result in an aggregate 16% increase in Common Equity Tier 1 capital requirements. That Tier 1 capital measure an institution's presumed financial strength and its buffer against recessions or blow-ups in its stock prices. Now, regulators, of course, said that most banks already meet the requirements. They'll still have it till July 2028. I thought it was 2026, but they've got some time to fully comply with these changes, Melody.
And again, if they've been writing them since 2008, they only decided to bring them out because, Houston, we have a problem. You know, that's the way I read into it. They don't do anything they have to unless they know that something's coming. Something's coming down the pike.
All you have to do is look at the notational value of these banks' derivatives.
Yep.
To know how risky our banking system really is.
These regulations, folks, aren't there to protect you. It's there to protect their liabilities. For whatever happens when it happens. So, you know, I'll guarantee you there's probably a lot of little fine print in there that, again, is the old insurance policies. The big print giveth and the little taketh away. So, now, this is going to get me upset, Dave, about making office gossip official. Are you kidding me? Are you seriously kidding me?
That's why called Levity is Golden. It's almost too good to be true. The workplace review platform Glassdoor
Wait. I always thought you went to work to work. I thought that's what you were supposed to do. They pay you a wage, you go to work, you work.
Well, maybe before
Not
computers.
In today's world. Not in today's world.
Before computers, but now you got the internet, you got all sorts of distractions. Glassdoor's giving us one more. They call it an opportunity for employees to anonymously air their grievances.
Please.
has Glassdoor's launched these new message boards called Bowls to allow users to anonymously engage in what they call real talk around topics or companies they care about. Employees can join these company-specific bowls where they can ask leadership anonymous questions, talk about corporate news, compensation packages, or the latest office gossip with colleagues.
There is no such thing as anonymous on the computer.
Very good point. While this feature allows for more candor and transparency, in theory, it also could impact corporate reputation, talent retention, and recruiting if not monitored closely by the powers that be. Now, Glassdoor has over 55 million monthly users and more than 2.5 million company profiles. And over 380,000 employers have already claimed their profile with a free employer account, which allows the company to see specific analytics and respond to reviews, but not being able to see the names of the senders. So moderation guidelines remain the same, and these bowls will mirror the anonymous community discussions already taking place on Fishbowl, which was acquired actually by Glassdoor a couple years ago. Now, these so-called bowls can replace the banter and water cooler talk that have disappeared due to remote or hybrid work, according to Glassdoor CEO Christian Sutherland Wong, who said, "We see this opportunity as we now dive into real talk. For Glassdoor to be valuable to people, not just at the times they're looking for a job, but also in between times, when they're an employee of the company as well. And we're talking about productivity increases, Melody? Well, according to a survey by the Harris Poll, 2/3 of employees in the country would like to be able to ask company leaders and colleagues anonymous work-related questions. And here I thought the good old suggestion box was there for just that purpose.
I know. And you know what's funny, Dave? They say it's anonymous, but if you have an employee, you can pretty much figure out by what is written and how it is written, by who is sent, you know.
Well, it's a good point, especially in smaller size companies.
True.
Where, you know, you get to know someone's writing style, speaking style, whether they have good grammar or not. And, you know, just about every company has the ability to, I guess, call it see who of their employees are online on specific websites. Although, you know, Glassdoor says, you know, the anonymity of specific questions or issues or comments is maintained. I think your point is well taken. In any event, it's just an interesting development. We live in interesting times, as we like to say, and employees do want to feel connected to their workplace and have a clear understanding of salaries and work culture and business priorities. So it looks like workplace communication tools like Glassdoor's, they say they'll be able to achieve that, but
good grief.
Wait to start hearing the whistleblower stories in the months to come about exceptions to the rule. That Melody is this week's Levity is Gold. Are you still upset?
Well, you know, it's just absurd anymore. I mean, what kind of people are being groomed? I mean, good grief.
And making
bunch of
millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, and billions of dollars.
Yeah, and I'll guarantee who's funding all this stuff, too.
Zany ideas.
Oh, my. Anyway, the, you know, it's just, well, I just learned about furries. Do you know what furries are?
I've heard. it, but I can't place it now.
Well, look it up.
Berries, okay, I will.
Of course, now all the listeners are saying, what, furries, furries? I think we talked about it yesterday on the program. But anyway, let's see. Who else is raising rates out there? The ECB, they raised their interest rates. It's the ninth straight time. They had already, the ECB president had already promised a quarter percentage point increase. And, of course, the bank's next moves would be determined by the data, of course. Everybody's got to say the same thing. All the central banks got to say the same thing. We're following the data. So they'll have to see. But they have a little, their inflation over there is much higher than what ours is, I believe, as at least by what they report anyway. And again, she's saying the same thing as Powell did. If the bank does pause, it would not necessarily be for an extended period of time. Decisions would vary from meeting to meeting. In fact, he probably sent her his speech. Anyway. I'm sorry. Don't upset the apple. Whoops.
I'm sorry. I'm a little distracted. I'm reading about furries.
Yeah. Don't upset the apple cart. But anyway, so... would you like to add anything else to that?
About the ECB?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the only thing I find interesting is, you know, it's with today's 25 basis point increase, the ECB's raised its benchmark deposit rate now from -0.5% a year ago to +3.75%. That's the fastest credit tightening since the euro was launched in 1999. So everyone's obsessed with raising interest rates to bringing down the effects of inflation, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, they reported yesterday that they like the economic and job growth so far this year that's been stronger. But I think what's important about what they released was an updated outlook sees parts of the economy as weakening through next year. So their CBO's latest 10-year budget and economic outlook shows how difficult it is to figure out where the U.S. is going after the pandemic. We don't think it's that difficult, but hey. So it's kind of interesting. The CBO said they expect the rates to continue to rise, as well as slower GDP growth for the rest of this year. They're looking at headline unemployment reaching 4.7% by the end of 2024. So that equates to a more accurate rate of 8.8%, including discouraged job seekers, Dave.
Yeah, that's always important to keep in mind, because as we talk about frequently, and you really need to remember this, because everyone from politicians to just about every cable network news talks about headline unemployment. They don't normally say headline either. They say unemployment. But it's just one of six that the government measures. Now, CBO says it expects rates to continue to rise. The agency projected that the headline unemployment rate would actually jump to 5.1% next year. Currently stands at 3.6, and estimates that the rate will end the year at roughly 4.1% next year. That is, that's 7.7% counting those discouraged workers. And then add to that consumer spending they expect to wane at the end of this year. Particularly as the end of those excess pandemic savings are essentially gone, and they've decreased substantially since 2020 and 2021. Anyway, so in a bright spot, inflation is expected to decline because of the actions of the Fed and a combination of supply chain snafus, are resolving themselves and also decreasing demand. As you may know, CBO issues projections that are generally more pessimistic than other too-big-to-fail bank forecasters and the Fed as well. The latest report acknowledges that uncertainty, saying projections are highly uncertain and many factors could lead to different outcomes.
And this outcome is we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And one more time today, welcome back to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Dave Allen. Melody resting her vocal cords and taking care of clients this final segment. You know where to reach her, 1-800-375-4188. Despite more than a year of widespread warnings that a recession was coming, that it was near, America's economy is, if anything, well, possibly heading in the other direction, at least according to some mainstream economists, even as the Fed has sent borrowing costs sharply higher. As we mentioned earlier, the economy's semi-resilience has been on plain display lately. Consumers keep spending, employers keep hiring, inflation has reached its lowest level in 2 years, and it's all helping Americans stretch their increasing paychecks. Government estimated today the economy has expanded at a solid 2.4% annual rate in the first quarter. Certainly an unexpected pickup from the 2% pace in the first. Latest snapshot of the economy coincides with rising sentiment that it may achieve that elusive soft landing. where growth slows and inflation falls without igniting a full-blown recession. Analysts point to two trends that might help stave off such an economic contraction. Some are saying the economy is actually experiencing a series of rolling recessions. That's a circumstance where only some industries shrink, while the overall economy manages to stay above water. Others think the nation might be experiencing what they call a rich session. Job cuts, they note, have been concentrated in higher-paying industries like technology and finance, which are heavy with professional workers who generally have the financial cushions to, well, withstand layoffs. Job cuts in those fields, as a result, are less likely to sink the overall economy. Still, threats loom large. The Fed has raised its key interest rate to about 5.3% now, its highest level in 22 years, and may decide to do so again before the end of the year. Those rate increases impose heavy borrowing costs on consumers and businesses alike. That's why some economists caution that a full-blown recession may still occur. I tend to agree. When different sectors of the economy take their turns contracting, with some declining and others expanding, well, that's sometimes called, again, a rolling recession. In that way, the economy as a whole manages to avoid that traditional full-fledged recession. The housing industry, for example, is the first to suffer a tailspin after the Fed began raising rates sharply 16 months ago. As mortgage rates, well, essentially doubled, home sales plunged. They're now 19% lower than they were a year ago. Manufacturing soon followed, and while it hasn't fared as badly as housing, factory production is down from a year ago. And this spring, the tech industry suffered a slump too. Excuse me, I'm going to see. In the aftermath of the pandemic, Americans were spending less time online and instead resumed shopping at physical stores and going to restaurants more frequently. That trend forced sharp job cuts among tech companies. At the same time, consumers ramped up their spending on travel and at entertainment venues, and that buoyed the economy's vast service sector and offset the difficulties in others. Economists say they expect such spending to slow later this year as the savings that many households have had amassed during the pandemic continue to shrink. And if the economy does achieve a soft landing, analysts say these rolling sectoral recessions will be a big part of the story. As far as a so-called rich session goes, affluent Americans aren't exactly suffering these days, particularly as the stock market has rallied so well this year. Yet it's also true that the bulk of high-profile job losses that began last year have been concentrated in higher-paying professions. The pattern is different from what typically happens in recessions. Lower-paying jobs in areas like restaurants and retail, they're usually the first to be lost, and often in depressingly large numbers. That's because in most downturns, as Americans start pulling back on spending, restaurants, hotels, and retailers lay off lots of workers. Fewer people buy homes. Many construction workers are thrown out of work as well. Sales of high-priced manufactured goods like cars and appliances, they tend to fall, and leading to job losses at factories. This time so far, though, it hasn't happened that way. Restaurants, bars, and hotels are still hiring. In fact, they've been a major driver of job gains. Into the surprise of labor markets, construction companies are also still adding workers despite higher mortgage rates, which often discourage residential and commercial building. Instead, layoffs have been strikingly mainly white-collar and professional occupations. Many of the affected employees are well-educated and likely to find new jobs relatively quickly, helping to keep unemployment down despite the layoffs. Right now, for example, the federal government, as well as employers in the hotel, retail, and even railroad industries, are seeking to hire people who've been laid off from the tech giants. Tom Barkin, who's president of the Richmond Fed, notes that affluent workers typically have savings they can draw upon after losing a job, and that enables them to keep spending and fueling the economy. For that reason, Barkin added, white-collar job losses don't tend to weaken consumer spending as much as losses experienced by blue-collar workers do. The most optimistic economists say they're growing more hopeful that a recession can, in fact, be avoided, even if the Fed keeps interest rates at a peak for months to come. They point out that a range of recent economic data have come in better than expected. Most notably, hiring has stayed surprisingly resilient, with employers adding an average of roughly 300,000 jobs over the past 6 months. Manufacturing, too, is defying gloomy expectations. Government reported that companies stepped up their orders of industrial machinery, rail cars, computers, and other longer-lasting goods. Jan Hatzius, who's chief economist at Too Big to Fail Goldman Sachs, said that the ebbing of such threats led him to mark down the likelihood of a recession in the next 12 months from 35% to just 20%. Another economist point out that the economy doesn't face the types of dangerous imbalances or events that have ignited other recent recessions, such as the stock market bubble in 2001 or the housing bubble 7 years later. Whatever the case turns out to be, no recession, rolling recession, a rich session, or a full-blown one, there's a lot of continuing uncertainty out there despite improving sentiment indexes. So protect yourself and your family by having plenty of physical gold and silver in your savings. For all your precious metal needs, call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. In his daily column today, Bloomberg's Joe Wiesenthal observes that things have been pretty quiet on the markets and econ front lately. Not much volatility, growing amount of confidence about the soft landing possibility, and orders generally are calm. He knows that, I'm glad he thinks so. He knows that it's a kind of cliche that when everyone is complacent, some risk comes at you from the blind spot. Well, it also makes sense that yesterday's Fed press conference was one of the quietest in some time, with minimal reaction in the market, well, until today. Wiesenthal has pointed to two interesting items he thinks kind of go together nicely. Early on, in a question from Gianna Smielek of the New York Times, Powell said he sees robust consumer activity as a good thing. Essentially, he doesn't see a recession or a meaningful increase in the unemployment rate as a necessity to defeating inflation. He said later in the press conference that history does suggest that increases in the unemployment rate historically are a product of the inflation fight. But he doesn't seem to think that a materially weaker labor market is inherently a precondition to achieving the Fed's inflation goals. Then later in a response to Rachel Siegel of The Washington Post, he was asked to describe the drivers of previous disinflation. How much has been monetary policy? How much has been just normalization of the economy, supply chains unraveling, etc.? His answer was, well, it's been some of both, depending on which way you slice inflation. He didn't put exact figures on how much has been the result of tightening versus normalization. So to some extent, Wiesenthal concludes that Powell believes it's conceivable that we can have more immaculate disinflation. But then the question, he says, is how much can we get still from normalization as opposed to the Fed having to do more work to slow things down? Now, that's a good question for the Fed and all of us to ponder over the next several weeks leading up to the next FOMC policy meeting in September, don't you think? On Tuesday's program, I talked about my latest newsletter article about how artificial intelligence could impact worker productivity and other aspects of the economy. And now a new report from the McKinsey Global Institute says the workers most likely to be replaced by advances in AI are those in, guess what, lower wage occupations. Surprise, surprise. Now, this, they say, isn't necessarily a story of massive job loss. McKinsey says these workers are likely to find higher paying jobs in different industries, part of a broader trend already underway. Meanwhile, higher wage earners will also be affected by AI, but they're less likely to get thrown out of work. Quilin Ellengroot, who's a McKinsey Global Institute director and one of the co-authors of this report, says your job will shift and change, but you won't have to find a new one. Automation, accelerated by the needs of the pandemic era, has already begun displacing low-wage workers across four different fields at least. Office support, food service, like waiters, waitresses, customer service, retail clerks, production workers who move material or work machines. We've already seen some of this. Ordering kiosks at many McDonald's have replaced frontline staff. Self-checkouts have replaced CVS cashiers. And frontline office staff never came back after the pandemic shutdowns. McKinsey says AI will turbocharge those kinds of changes. Ellengroot says the ingoing model was about 21% of activities can be automated away. When we layer on generative AI, that jumps to 30%. The report says 11.8 million workers in these occupations may need to find a new kind of job by the end of this decade. 12 million. That's close to massive job loss. Some will move into higher paying roles in the same industry, McKinsey says. Say a grocery cashier becomes a manager. 9 million may shift industries entirely. Now, those earning $38,200 a year or less are up to 14 times more likely to change occupations by 2030 than the highest donors on account of AI. Jobs in these categories making up the lowest, the two lowest wage quintiles are disproportionately held. Surprise, surprise, people with less education, women, and people of color. Jobs in these four categories make up almost 40% of jobs in the U.S. The defining question is what happens to them. Ellengroot says it's the biggest question facing our workforce today. Now, based on what's happened in an incredibly dynamic labor market over the past couple of years, there's evidence of what could play out as these job categories diminish. And McKinsey says it's positive. They found that from 2019 to 2022, 8.6 million workers changed occupations, some switching fields entirely. More than half of those shifts were among workers in those four categories. The report finds that AI and other advancements in tech will likely spur job growth in higher paying fields. And given current demographic trends, that means employers are going to need those displaced workers. Now, that transition will be bumpy for sure. But McKinsey says advancements in technology hopefully means many workers transition to better paying jobs than none at all. Hey, that's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be back next week. Believe we're playing a replay tomorrow. But tune in if you missed any of the shows this week. I think we're doing one with the featured Greg Hunter. Also, be on the lookout for our weekly What a Rush of Gold and Silver blog in your email inboxes in the morning. Thanks as always to production engineer Todd Waite and to you for tuning into Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Please be safe out there. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.